This morning, this week has been an interesting week for me. Just to, on the subject that I'm going to teach on this morning, and it's the subject of honor. And the last 2 weeks, I've been ministering, and last week, I ministered in our congregation on meditation. And I don't know, I haven't heard a lot of preachers on meditation. I don't know. Unless you've listened to my preach last week. When was the last time you heard a preach on that? Same as honor. When was the last time you heard something on honor? So this morning, I'm going to try and unpack that subject for us and have a look at it from kind of different angles. What does the Bible say? Who do we honor? Why must we honor? What is honor? I want to start off with a quote that was written 82 years ago. 82 years ago, C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Abolition of Man. And in 1943, and he wrote this, he says, "We laugh at honor and are shocked to find traitors in our midst." He says, "We laugh at honor and then we think, whoa, 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 there's some traitors amongst us. But we don't understand honor." That's why we laugh at it. I want to say, Lewis made a true observation about this. Just look at the widespread disregard of honor that is in our day. I want to say, honor is not even laughed at today. It is now mocked. It is now ridiculed. In actual fact, I want to go as far as say that honor is even despised. They say there's three kinds of honor: good honor, bad honor, and eternal honor. The word honor actually appears 355 times in the Bible. I am the numbers guy. I think it's important. Along with dignity and respect and decorum, our honor is now fading away due to abuse and misuse. It is actively attacked and criticized on all fronts in our society. So if Lewis wrote this 82 years ago, how much more do you think is this happening today? I want to say, even in the church and from within our houses, within our homes, honor is slammed. This is not a heavy church. This is not heavy. I want us to be aware of this, that we slam honor, and I'll show you how we do it. Many parents no longer highly esteem the value of honor in the home. Although they actually demand honor themselves, few actually do anything to reinforce it. Men, they don't show proper honor to their wives. And they even sometimes laugh when the children speak down and dishonorably to their mothers. I've many times said to my children, and they can actually attest to it, I would say to them, "This is my wife you're speaking to right now. You're not just speaking to somebody random at your school. This is my wife." So if this stuff is happening in the church, in our houses, what does it look like? And I'm going to show you even in pop culture what it looks like. Sorry, I need my glasses. You know, you can pinch your screen and you kind of make it bigger, but then the page just is all over, so just keep it this size. I am shocked. I promise you, I am shocked to hear children speak disrespectfully to their parents. Yet the shock begins to wear off when I see their parents speak disrespectfully to others. They diss people on Facebook. We cowboy warriors. Oh, shoo, shoo. Did you see what the llamas did? And we make it public. Twitter. We do it on Facebook. We do it on whatever else platform we can find. We do it. And then we ask the kids to respect us. But we disrespect other people. But just look at the culture. Look at the cultural heroes of young people today. Young Tay-Tay. They are disrespectful. They are dishonorable sports figures, pop stars, self-made social media influencers. It is no wonder that this is the case when traditional authority figures are torn down and when men are portrayed as idiotic fools. There was this program in the 80s called Married with Children. Al Bundy. He just put his hands in his pants and sits on the couch. And the kids come and all he does is just give dollars over his head. With a mother that runs the house. It is topsy-turvy. It's upside down. It's not just stop there. Peppa Pig. Have you ever heard Peppa speak to her parents? Disrespectful. But it's normal. South Park. Simpsons. Another great, you know, iconic husband. Disrespectful. No wonder our society is so messed up and don't understand honor. Similarly, you thought the ladies are like, they were like, yes, he just spoke to the men. Wives. Honor their husbands as they ought. And it seems that some women find Paul's teaching about submission entirely condemned and archaic. Ooh, that's the stuff that he just spoke about that we're not allowed to speak about. Wives, submit to your husbands. I didn't say it. Bible says it. And the whole Bible makes a whole Christian. Not parts of it. I call that cafeteria Christianity. You know, you get to the cafeteria, you pick what you want, the meat, the potatoes. Oh, no broccoli for me, no spinach for me. Thank you very much. That's what we do with the Bible. It's called cafeteria Christianity. We can't. The whole Bible makes a whole Christian. Then we wonder, why leaders are not honored anymore. So it should not come as a surprise to us that many young people are leaving and actually despising the church when their parents have long dishonored meeting together. I know of children that would love to come to church, but the parents stay at home. I'm too tired. I ran the Iron Man. I'm too tired. The kids are like, Mom, Dad, take us to church. We want to serve Jesus. I obviously am not talking. I'm talking to the converted here because you're all here. Bible is very clear. She says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints, as some do. She says, but as the day draws near, what day is that? The day of the coming of the Lord. He says, encourage one another. They're not meeting together. There's no fellowship. They clump together. They just, it's ek en my meisie, ons bly en ons huisie. You know, it's like us four and no more, you know. That's not a church, by the way. That little thing that everybody quotes with two or more gathered in my name. Come on, read it in context. The scripture is about elders meeting together and making decisions about putting somebody out of the church. It's got nothing to do with prayer meetings and little meetings that you have secretly. They dishonor the commitment that they've made. On Saturday, some people were prayed in. Yes, I belong to a family. But then you dishonor your membership commitment to the church. You dishonor your elders, your pastors, your fellow congregants. As it should not surprise us how many who profess faith in Christ have such little regard even for the word that is preached. When so many pastors have exchanged the preaching of the word of God in season and out of season for watered down, attractional, socio-cultural, pop psychology, anecdotes and stories combined with ear-licking, emotionalistic entertainment. I'm not going to try and say that again. That's what it is. You might as well watch TED Talks. That's it. There's no more word. The word and the spirit is out of the church. And we wonder why there's no honor. Such preaching honors only the pastor and not the God of Scripture. But friends, this is the good news. There's always a but. Let's not lose heart. Let it not disappear from our hearts. Let honor not disappear from our hearts and our families and our churches. As Peter says this in 1 Peter 2 verse 17. Honor everyone. That's not a suggestion. Let me just put it out there. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor, or some translation says the king. I'm going to talk about that because we very quickly can say something about President Ramaphosa, and it's not honoring him, but he doesn't serve God. God put all authority there. John Calvin said, sometimes God gives us an evil king to test our hearts. Will you honor him? Now let's look at what is honor. It's an interesting word. The word honor in the Greek is the word time. T-I-M-E. That's how you spell it. It means to pay honor, to respect. It refers to the worth or the value or the merit of something or someone. Honor or time, this word time, is a valuing by which the price is fixed or an estimation of the value of a thing. Finally, and most importantly, in the present context of what we're talking about today, biblically, this word is an attitude. And I'm going to talk a lot about this attitude that we have, this disposition, this posture of the heart, because that is what honor is. Towards another person, which lifts up their value. In actual fact, the way that God sees them. It's not just about honoring you as a person. I'm honoring God within you. Listen to this. We honor that which is precious to us. Think about the things that is precious to you right now. Those are the things that you will honor. Number one, to honor someone is to show genuine appreciation and admiration for the other individual. Believers like us who are being transformed by the renewing of our minds should become more and more sensitive to showing respect and honor, to acknowledge the accomplishments of others, to encourage one another, to demonstrating genuine love, but not being jealous or envious, because that is love. Love is not envious. You know, there's this moment that Peter is restored in the book of John. I'm just going slightly off here. I'm just reminded of it. He's looking full in the face of Jesus. It's the last chapter of John. He's looking full, and Jesus is asking him these questions. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter is like, yes, I love you. Go read straight after that. And then Jesus says this. He says this to him. He says, Peter, follow me. So either they were walking together, but then the Bible says this, but Peter turned. The same word for backsliding is used there. Here is the living Christ in front of Peter, the way, the truth, and the life. And one moment, he's looking at him. Jesus tells him, follow me. And he turns away and he looks and he says, well, what's going to happen to him? And he refers to John, the beloved. And Jesus, sometimes I wonder if he had a bit of a, you know, in his answer. He looks at Peter and he says to him, what's it to you, Peter? What's going to happen to John? If I keep John alive until I come back, it's got nothing to do with you. But you follow me. We lose sight. I say, my daughter runs hurdles. The one thing is, you have to look in front of you. If you run like this, you will not win your race. You don't swim the Olympics and you kind of swim like this. You don't do that. You're not going to win that race. I can tell you right now, if you look around, you put your head down and the path of least resistance, and you just go flat out, man. Stop looking around you. Like, what's happening to Nina? Like, why is God blessing Nina more than me? We do that. We lose focus of the one that said, follow me. In actual fact, Jesus goes on, he says, don't just follow me, abide in me. Okay, that's for free. You don't have to pay for that. See, this is the marks of a sincere faith, which is maturing. When we can honor other people above us, such a one, in fact, is to take the lead in the carrying out of these actions. You need to do this. Don't wait for someone else to say, whoa, you look good today. You go to them and tell them they look good. You honor them. If we have truly presented ourselves as a living sacrifice, that we pray often and we say that in Romans 12, we should be growing in these graces. The second thing is, honor is a social term, describing how people within a society evaluate one another. That's how it was used, the context. And some of the occurrences in the Old Testament refers to this word, and this was interesting for me. For those that are biblical nerds, you know what they are. They love the words. This one is going to get you. Because the same word that is used for glory in the Old Testament, kavot or kabot, it's the same word, which means weight. That's what it means. Is used for honor. So basically you're saying, granting honor to a fellow human being is described the honor a person grants to God. It's the same. It means heavy or weighty. In a figurative meaning, what you're actually saying is, I give weight to someone. I give weight to Chad. I don't have to come in strong and always be right. This is honor when I go, Chad, I'm submitting to that. Submitting to the Lord within you. To honor someone then is to give weight or to grant a person a position of respect and even an authority in one's life. Some words for kavod is importance, weight, and majesty, or heaviness. Number three, a person grants honor most frequently on the basis of position. We do that. The Bible says, be careful that you don't grant honor to those people that are the rich ones in the church. Your position, your status, your wealth. Ooh, come here. Yeah, come sit here. But it can and should also be granted, first and foremost, on the basis of character. I really don't care how much money is in your bank account. Thank the Lord for rich people. Thank you. I'm serious. The Bible teaches us how to prosper. The Bible is very clear. It says that God is the one that helps us to prosper, even as your soul prospers. That's great. Thank you, Jesus. But ultimately, we look at a person's character, and that's how we give honor. You see, while honor is an internal attitude of respect, courtesy, and reverence, it should be accompanied by appropriate attention or even obedience. I'll look at that one now. I'm gonna finish off with this, but Isaiah says this in Isaiah 29:13. And the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, they just pay lip service, while their hearts, can you see the disposition of your heart is far from me, and their fear of me is commandment taught by men. So we do this, but we're just paying lip service. He says, be careful. It's not just lip service. There's an obedience that also comes. But I will do the reverse on this saying just now as well. God the Father, for example, is honored when people do the things that please Him. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. Glorify Him. Do everything to give Him honor. Parents are honored through the obedience of their children. Number four, the source of all honor is always God. On the basis of His position, that He is the sovereign creator of all things, and He is the loving Father. That's His character. Now, we ought to honor Him. God the Father has given honor to His Son, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 5, verse 23, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. He gave honor even to us. Here's a beautiful thing. On humanity, by creating man a little lower than the angels. Have you seen that? Psalm 8, verse 5 and 6 says this. Yet you have made Him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned Him with glory and honor. You have given Him dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under His feet. God has also created spheres of authority within human government, the church, and in the house. Elders are to govern the church, the home, the father, human government. And the positions of authority in these spheres are to receive honor implicitly. But I will look at that just a little bit later. The granting of honor to others is an essential experience in the believer's life. Christians are always to bestow honor on those for whom honor is due. Just on an extra note, and I did say I will come back to that. Honor always describes the heart's position, the posture of your heart, out of which obedience is born. So we first honor and then we obey. Okay. In other words, obedience is our duty, but honor is my posture. To honor one's parents, for instance, means to show them respect and love, to care for them as long as they need, and to seek to bring honor to them by the way one lives. Honor is the attitude behind the act. Okay, honor is the attitude. The act is obedience, and honor is the attitude. Remember that an act, obedience, without the proper attitude, honor is actually hypocrisy. If I just obey, but I don't honor, then I'm just a hypocrite. Oh, it's just blind obedience. I'm just going to obey. But there's no honor. He says, first honor. And then out of that flows the act of obedience. It's the attitude. It's the posture of the heart that is way more important to God. Way more. I'll just obey. Chad's asked me to obey. I'll just obey. At least the Bible says, submit and obey your elders. So I'll just do it. There's no honor in that. First, get your heart right. We do the same with families. We do the same with government. We do it. I'll just do it. No. Your posture, your attitude. Why should we honor? I'm going to quickly go through this. And then I'll look at who do we honor. Quickly. Why do we honor? Well, first, Jesus set the example. Always. In anything that you do, in baptism, in Spirit-filled, in everything, Jesus did it. I want to do it. I want to look like Jesus. That's it. Because the Bible says, what I need to do is to conform to the image of His Son. If He showed honor to the Father, then I show honor to Jesus. I show honor to my fellow men. Set the example. Second, the image of God stamped on us by our Creator qualifies each one for honor. Because I'm made in His image. Actually qualifies me for honor. I don't seek honor, but I can be honored because of Jesus, the Father's image. Thirdly, that's part of Christian humility to give honor to others. Man, come humbly. And fourthly, it helps bring the church together when we honor other Christians. Be careful of even breaking down the church down the road. Sure. Now you're going to say to me, but what if they teach heresy? Well, that's a different thing. It's a different preach for a different day. But still, honor. God will, guys, God will sort it out. I always say to people, oh, well, I've got this friend that really just wants to show like all the faults of the church. I said, don't worry. God is not mocked. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I'm like, I cannot inflict enough vengeance on one person like what He can do. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a righteous God. So I'd rather let them fall in His hands than in mine. Much rather. On that day, in some places it's called that terrible day, you're going to give reckoning of everything that you said. You'll be judged for it. Who do we honor? I'm not going to go through all the scriptures. There's too many. But I'm going to tell you, who do we honor? We honor God above all. We honor Jesus. The Bible tells us we honor fathers and mothers. In actual fact, it mentioned it so many times in the New Testament. As I studied, go and study how many times it's just mentioned in the New Testament. Honor your father and your mother. Go do a little study this week. Like we read in Peter, 1 Peter 2:17, it says, honor all men. 1 Timothy 5:17 tells us to honor elders. In actual fact, it actually calls us, can you put that verse up? Not because I'm an elder. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. I don't even know what that looks like. I don't know, but it's there, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. I'm not saying this because I'm laboring in preaching and teaching, but what does that look like? Oh, man, authorities. Go read Romans 13, verse 1 to 7. Go read it. Authorities. In actual fact, it says there in 1 Peter 2:17, honor the king, the emperor. Hebrews 13:4 tells us to honor our spouses. Marriage, the marriage bed needs to be honored. 1 Timothy 6:1 tells us to honor employers. Woo-hoo! Remember this. Andrew always says this. He says, if your boss is Saul, you better stay David. Okay. David had all the right to go kill Saul. All the right. Twice he could do it, but he didn't. Even if your boss is Saul to you, you be David to him. Even if your boss takes a spear twice and chucks it at you, you play the harp for him. That's what you do. And here's the one that I never saw. Widows. Bible says, 1 Timothy 5:3. Honor widows who are truly widows. Do we honor them? Who's a widow here? A widow. A truly widow. I'm talking your husband passed away or your wife passed away. Anybody here? No one. You have a young congregation. In ending, Mark Twain once said, it is better to deserve honors and not have them than to have honors and not deserve them. I'm going to say it again. It is better to deserve honors and nobody gives it to you than to have honors and people all honor you with their lips, but you actually don't deserve it. While the reception of honor is a positive experience, and we all want that, it is not to be sought. Luke chapter 14, verse 7 to 8. Now he told the parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. So it's not about me. Is that both verses? Go read that in Luke chapter 14. Don't seek it. Don't go around. I need honor because God needs to be honored in me. Queen Victoria. There's a story about her. She actually frequently attended a Bible study led by one of her footmen. One evening, she asked him, when do you think the Lord will return? The footman was perplexed and told the monarch that the Bible gave no specific time. You see, even this footman knows. But anyway, no specific time for the Lord's return. So we should always be ready for his return. At this, the queen said, oh, I do hope that the Lord returns during my lifetime. I should love to lay at his feet the crown of the kingdom and the empire. That gracious old queen knew to whom honor belongs, the King of Kings. Let's close our eyes. Friends, all of us, we are to honor God and his Son, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, through acknowledging and confessing that he is the one and only God. We are to honor God in our recognition that the gift, my friends, of eternal life and the salvation of our souls comes through Jesus Christ and him alone. That's how we honor him. So this morning, I know we have thrown out the net already. We've asked if there's anybody, but I want to ask you again, as all eyes are closed this morning, is there anybody, as I was speaking, you realize even through all the stuff, God, I have not honored you with my life. I've honored you maybe with my lips, but my heart is far from you. I want you to surrender your heart this morning. Don't just give him lip service and say, I love you, I will follow you, but actually give him everything. So this morning, if you're sitting here, and you say, Stephen, that's me. Maybe your heart is pounding in your chest, and your palms are a little bit sweaty. That's like the Holy Spirit working in your heart. And you say, that's me. I've never surrendered my life. Don't be shy. Just say, that's me. Just put up your hand quickly. Say, that's me, Stephen. Would you pray for me? I want to commit my life to Jesus right now. Or even return back to him. Some of us have backslidden. Some of us have drifted from the living God. The Bible says, return to your first love. Return to him. Repent and return back to your first love. Remember from where you have fallen, Revelation says. Anybody here this morning, I want to ask you to put up your hand quickly. Here we go. Thanks, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you very much there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I pray that you come and work in the hearts of these people that have just put up their hands. Just, Lord, that they will honor you with everything, with their lives, with their time, with their talents, with their treasures, with everything. And this morning, if you're sitting here and you know that there's something you need to repent of in your heart that you've been dishonoring, maybe towards parents, maybe towards authority, maybe to a church, maybe to a school, maybe to this eldership, I don't want to know what it is. You do business with the Lord this morning. Please stand because I want to pray with you this morning. If any of these things have touched your heart and you've been dishonoring in any way, shape, or form, I promise you we all should stand because I do think we all do this. I promise you, I have been dishonoring. Even as I prepared my heart this morning, I was like, Lord, I've missed it. I've missed it. I've been dishonoring. Maybe to my spouse this morning. I have, definitely. Elders, all men. That includes all of us. Even the taxi driver. Ooh. Yeah, now you're making it difficult, Stefan. Guys, we don't do this on our own. I said it right in the beginning. It's all by grace. We cannot do this without the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts. Lord, come and help us. Bestow grace upon us, Lord, even for our elders, for our teachers, for whoever, authority figures, Lord, parents, children. Lord, we repent this morning. We remember from where we have fallen. And we return to you, Jesus. If we've been dishonoring to you, Jesus, or Holy Spirit, even denying speaking in tongues, you're dishonoring him. It's a gift that he's wanted to give to you. Don't dishonor him. Don't. I just felt he dropped that into my spirit. Don't dishonor him. It's gifts. The Bible says he gives good gifts. So, Father, this morning we repent. Come and refresh. Come and set us apart again, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. We fall short, but by grace. But God, rich in mercy. We thank you this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.